I don't know. I was going to do a small teaching to summarize where I've been at with just the foundations of the gospel and the two big ones that I pulled out the past two times that we taught on this. It's number one is the born again death to life experience that is the gospel, like new life, and what that really means. Like, what is the gospel? What does it really mean? You know, like, and why? Right? Because I don't know about you guys. My life changed when I found out why. You know, my life, I'm just being honest, I didn't change, I didn't transform, I didn't see transformation in my life that much. Can I say that? I'm just going to say it. When I found out that Jesus died for my sins and stuff, don't get me wrong, I received hope and I got into it and I asked Jesus into my heart, but I was so lacking in something so huge, which is the revelation of why. Because, like, all I knew is that, well, I was a sinner, that's why. And he came and he needed to pay the price, and, you know, all still, you know, just kind of out of pity for me. And gosh, that's like missing the whole thing. There's this value that we were born for. You go back to Genesis, the whole foundation, the whole thing, like the whole Bible, and you realize that, oh, okay, God's intent was for us to be in his image and his likeness and fellowship with him. You know, he walked with his kids, right? And he said all these amazing things because, you know, we got to hang out. Like, we hung out with God. You know, we were his. All these amazing things. Also, by the way, I want you to fill the earth with it. I want you to be fruitful and multiply. Not just babies. Babies, but like the stuff that I've given you and what you're enjoying with me now. Eden, delight. Okay? And so I realized, I was like, oh, okay, that's my purpose. So you could be like, oh, well, what's your calling, Evan? Well, at some points in my life, I might not know some of the micro details, but I'll be like, well, to be like him, to look like him, obviously it's not talking about physical, but his likeness, his value, his purpose, fellowship with him, and to magnify that and just to put that forth over all the earth and, you know, everyone I meet, just share it, right? That's a huge calling. That's like amazing. So that just blew me away. Like, he actually wanted me. He wants me. Like, and he never lost sight of that very first intent. He wasn't like, oh, they blew it. Right? Like, Jesus was God's plan. Like, before the foundation of the world. He was so, I mean, that was like, yay. So Jesus came to restore what was lost. So it wasn't just about like getting to heaven someday, although that's great. But like, I was like, whoa, like, you want me to actually live and experience heaven now? You know, so I heard these teachings, and for the first time in my life, after 15 years of Christianity, I'm like, oh my God, it wrecked me. It totally changed my life, you know, because I realized that I knew a gospel that just served me, but didn't transform me. Right? It just served me. And this book was, hear me out now, this book was a book of promises for me to stand on. I believe that, and it really is. But if that's all you believe, then you're actually shorting it. There's much more. What's even more important, dare I say, but it's really not like more, it's part of the promises, so it's all kind of integrated anyway. But what was important is that the truth that's revealed in this book is actually for relationship and oneness and returning to my original value, purpose, and destiny, and coming to access the Father and be one with him, he and me and me and in him. And out of that place, then the faith for the promises and everything flows, because the Bible says faith works through love. Right? And we are to be rooted and grounded in love. So that's the biggest value, because otherwise we actually have a self-serving life, a self-serving gospel. And like, that's not love. Just like, love is actually like, okay, if you want to follow me, then come and die. That's a good gospel right there. You guys want to know? Come and die, right? So we talked about all that, you know, what it means to follow Jesus, to deny ourselves. That's like step one. That's amazing, right? And to pick up our cross and follow him. Whoa, you know, and but that we know, like, because of that death, we died with him, and now we're like raised in him. So, you know, I used to think that Jesus died so that I didn't have to. Come on, we've all heard that. We've heard that. It's I know where we're getting at. So no, you know, I'm not trying to like, whoosh, you know, gotcha. But there's actually much more to it. Jesus died so that I can join him in his death. It's brilliant because that's the only way I could be free. Like, because the old me, like, I know there are many in this room, hopefully all of you, who can relate to, like, oh my gosh, like, I am headed towards destruction. I cannot change myself. I cannot bare knuckle this thing. Every time I try to do something, it's like, you know, it doesn't work. And the very thing I'm trying not to do, I do. And the thing I do, you know, the whole dilemma. But it's brilliant. He puts down this truth and this system for me to live by and this pattern for me to die. I don't mean pattern by over and over again. Actually, I just remind myself that I have died. That's all it is. Dead man's dead, right? Oh, I die to myself every day, brother. Well, I know what you mean, but that's not. Just remember that you did die and now put on the new, live in the new. So I died with him. So Jesus died to sin, right? He knew no sin, became like sin and died to sin so that that thing can be dead and I can join him so that now Jesus' burial and death is my burial and death. See you later. Bye, old me. It's awesome because then as we're buried with him and baptized, the scripture says, we're also raised with him to new life. Thank you. That's exciting. That's so, I mean, I get on the airplane and someone's like, hey, how you doing? I'm sorry, I'm just not that guy. I can't be like, yeah. All right, you know? And there have been times where I'm like, oh man, I'm amazing, man. Thanks for asking. And they're like, what's with you? Like, what just happened? Oh, what did you just, and then, okay. So anyway, we talked about what that, so like, I always had the short version of the gospel where, you know, I mean, when you realize the heart of God and his intent in this thing and what he's doing, it's like, how could I just live like fire insurance, just kind of, you know, oh, well, someday, you know, way out there. But like, I realized that the whole reason for it, really, well, we talked about the reason for it, but number two, it leads into number two that we talked about. Cool. Okay, I'm summarizing 2 weeks in like 10 minutes. This is pretty good. But so part B was the reason for it is for abiding relationship in God. He wanted you and he wanted to give you access, right? So through the Son, Jesus, his body is likened to the veil and now you can go in. We have access to the Father and I can call him Abba, Father, Daddy. And that is so good. That's reward. That's his reward too, not just ours. That's his reward. Like he wanted you as a child to sit on his lap, to know you, to come to know him and to see you like manifest his glory. And, you know, my prayers changed. I know, like, I always went to God with the things that I needed and wanted, right? Can anyone relate? Like, I thought prayer time was like, okay, well, Lord, could you help me with this? And I want that and whatever. And I'm not saying that there's nothing wrong with that, but I realized like, oh wow, he's not just a bellboy. He's not a bellboy at all. Actually, he's a father and he wants to know me. And it's not all about changing my circumstances and my situation. He's about changing me in the midst of my circumstances and situations, right? So that I can manifest him in those circumstances. We talked about the fire. We talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when the fire came. And you know, I'll bet they were praying. And guess what? He didn't put out the fire. He met them in the fire. That's good, right? Like John was saying, you know, like that's not our favorite refrigerator promise that we've got all over our house. Like in this world, you will have problems. You'll have many trials, struggles, sufferings. It's through sufferings that we enter his kingdom. Whoa, man, I didn't have that one on my, what's that? Even in the fire of refinement. Amen. But it is powerful because he works all things together for the good for those who love him. So that was part two. So I don't know, today I was almost going to recap that, go into like one more thing, talking about like abiding relationship. I don't even know what it is yet, but that's just what I felt like the Lord was doing. And then if we had time, we were going to talk about the covenants because I heard, like, I missed you guys last week. I heard that John's message like led into like really great conversation about the covenants and there might have been some open ends and like, where are we? Like, what are we doing? Whatever. And, you know, we brought this up, like, you know, covenant is kind of important, right? The covenant is actually a agreement that has legal, like, ramifications. Like, it's like a contract. And we're in a covenant with God, might as well get to know the covenant, right? And its conditions and what it means. And, you know, and so that'll be a great conversation, but I'm going to skip that for today. But I'd love to do like an open floor because I love having these conversations. I like participation. That's what we do here. We're all growing in truth. And I like to kind of bring that to each other and sort these things out. So I don't know if it waits till the next time I'm preaching, we'll do that. Or, you know, next time I'm on, we'll do it. If you want to do it earlier, then I don't know. Like, you know, we'll figure that out. But if we want to have like an open discussion about the covenants and where we're at, yeah, love to do that and just really battle it out. Because it's not supposed to be like a, it's not supposed to be a struggle. Like we are in a covenant, right? So we're in it. So anyway, yeah. All right. So, but let's just go ahead and recap for the third week on Romans 5. Romans 5, 1 and 2. And uniquely, I'm doing this out of the Passion Translation. Many of you know, like, you know me, I'm not really big on like all these different types of like, well, let's bring out this different color of scripture. I actually love that, but you know, when I really want to dissect the scripture, I want to go to like a real word for word, like, you know, very whatever. But I really believe that Simmons, I believe his name was, the Passion Translation writer, he really captures the heart of Romans 5, 1 and 2 on this really powerfully. And everything that he's saying is very much other parts of scripture. It's confirmed. So let's just read that and see where it goes, okay? We're going to talk about like abiding in relationship in him and his love for the next for the next 3 minutes. Okay. I love it. All right, so Romans 5:1. Our faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to us, and he now declares us flawless in his eyes. Gosh, it's amazing. That's so amazing. That's like amazing. I know. It's amazing. Okay. Flawless in his eyes, righteous. He transfers God's righteousness to us. We talked all about it, guys, like what real righteousness really means and how it's, again, it's not something that you can bare knuckle. It's something that comes from within. It's a truth that you stand on, but you live it, and it's grace. It's something that allows you to live his righteousness because it's already been fulfilled, and it's fulfilled in you. This means we can now enjoy true and lasting peace with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, has done for us. There's that number two. There's that reward of his suffering, guys. So Jesus came and died for me so that I can actually have a relationship with him. It's not just a confession. It's not a profession. It's not a label. It's a life. It's a relationship. And that gets me every time. Because I love being his. I love knowing him. I love that I'm forgiven. I love that he removed the stuff. He removed the junk. And we broke that down, Romans 5 and 6, that we've been set free from sin. The scripture says, he says it like 3 or 4 times, since you have been set free from sin. What does that mean? It just means the junk that held you back, right? And when that's out of the way, it's like, it's no longer, we no longer have to wear the fig leaves of shame. We could just go and be with him. We don't run and hide, right? Our conscience is clean. That's like so, I don't know, that was so freeing to me to like live with a clean conscience, and not because it's something that I did, but it's everything that he did, and now I can come to him. Our faith, this is two, verse 2. Our faith guarantees us permanent access into this marvelous kindness. Another word for there is, what do you guys have? And it is marvelous grace. Is it grace? Yeah. That has given us a perfect relationship with God. Wow. Yeah, go ahead.
Patrick and I went to a week-long session of just renewing our counseling us and renewing our marriage and stuff. One of the things we listened to while we were there, they gave us a tape by Graham Cook, Give Me Back My Stuff. Are you familiar with it? Well, he tells everybody that, you know, Jesus came to him and told him to give him back his stuff, and he didn't know what he was talking about. And he told Graham, all of that stuff that I died for is all mine, and you don't have any right to it ever again. So give it back. And it was really quite a message, and if you can get a hold of that, you know, I have it written out if you want to print it up, but not here today. But it was a really good CD to listen to, too, because all of us, I believe, have a tendency to kind of fall back into patterns that are familiar to us, even if they're not godly.
Yeah, right on. Love it. Love it. And so he reminds you of who you really are. That's when you know it's God. Like, he loves, but you guys, he shows me his love by reminding me who I am. I know it's, you'd say, well, that's just talking to you about you. What about him? But he reminds me of how good he is. And when I see what he's done in me in my life and what I really deserved, what I really, you know what I mean? Like, it shows me his goodness. And like we've covered, his goodness is his glory. Literally, his goodness and glory are one and the same. That's scriptural. You know, Moses says, show me your glory. He says, I will make my goodness pass by. Right? So like, when I learn more about who I am and when I'm reminded of who I really am because of what he's made me to be, I learn more about him and his heart and who he is. They're really tied, and it's just so good. So fun. So yeah, our faith, let's just wrap it up. This was really fun. I just feel like this was it was a discussion today and a recap. And our faith guarantees us permanent access into the marvelous kindness that has given us a perfect relationship with God. What incredible joy bursts forth within us as we keep on celebrating our hope of experiencing God's glory. Awesome. Selah. So, yeah. Oh, go ahead. That's actually very much on. We carry his glory. In the same way that God has glory, we have glory, and his design is for the same to be like it is the same glory, and that's why he said, "Show forth my glory over all the earth." Yeah, we'll talk. It's so fun. So if nothing else, I just want to remind us and recap on how simple yet profound and powerful this message is, and how the whole point is access to him and knowing him. Like we were talking about before, the world doesn't need more people who know about him but don't have his heart. And if you're here and you've been wounded, I'm sorry on behalf of the church. I really am. But like, we're growing in this, and we are called to know him and have his heart. That's the only thing that's going to change the world. It really is. That's the power of Christ in this world, because he says, all authority, all this stuff has been given to me. I'm going back to the Father, so go. Be, in essence, me, because you're part of my body. You are my body. So be that for the people around you. If you don't feel like you know him, wow, I get to actually hang out and know him and just know he's there and like know his love for me. Feel free to come up. Feel free to talk to us in the front. A couple of people. Could I get John, if you could hang out a little bit or whatever, or just find us, because I think we're going to start celebrating here. But yeah, just find me. Okay. I love having the conversations and working things out. This is what we do. We're all family, and we're doing this together. It's just fun. So yeah. And go ahead and wrap it, man.
So adding just one quick thing to what Evan talked about from Romans 5:1-2, and it's talking about, you know, standing in grace, but then he talks in this, so verse 3 and 4 and 5 talks about this new song that I learned called New Wine that we sang this morning. And this is the new wine that it's talking about here. It says in verse 3, it says, not only that, and I'm not in the Passion, I'm in New King James. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And if you don't need perseverance, that means there's nothing going on. That you, perseverance means there's an issue that you need to walk through, okay, and not run away from. And that's the pressing, and that's the crushing, and that's what's bringing new wine. If we run away from that stuff, then verse 5 is not ours. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So we need to be encouraged that this whole suffering thing is ours. And we can own it and walk through it, and the Holy Spirit will be poured out. That's a promise.